Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau from Compassionate Cooks, which I founded to empower people to make informed food choices and to debunk myths about vegetarianism and animal rights. I do this through cooking classes, an online cookbook, lectures and workshops, articles and essays, this podcast, and a cooking DVD. I'm also writing my first cookbook, well, my first offline cookbook, because we do have recipes on our website, and this cookbook is going to be all desserts. You can learn more about who we are and what we do by visiting our website, compassionatecooks.com. Thank you so much to those of you who responded to my request for support. I love doing these podcasts, but they come with inherent production costs. So if you like what you hear and would like to help out, you can visit compassionatecooks.com and contribute $5 a month or contribute any amount you like. Every bit helps. And as a thank you, we're sending a button to all of our supporters. You can see the buttons on our website, but it's a very sweet design. And it says, be kind to animals, don't eat them. Today's podcast is again sponsored by Charlie and Vicky Talbert, whose support I'm very grateful for. Thank you both. It's been great, again, to hear from so many of you, and please forgive me if I don't get back to you right away, but please know that I read all of your emails and all of your comments on iTunes, and I love hearing from you. Any help you can provide spreading the word would also be great, so please add a link to your website or to your MySpace page and encourage others to listen and subscribe. And if you'd like to drop me a line, you can do so at podcast@compassionatecooks.com and feel free to offer suggestions for future shows. Today's topic was inspired by requests I received for providing suggestions for transitioning to a vegan diet. Now, I struggle with the word diet because it implies something fleeting or temporary or just a means to a particular end, such as weight loss. But when I say diet, I'm really referring to veganism as a lifestyle choice, as a way of thinking, as a mindset, a perception change, a new and deeper consciousness about our place in this world. I think once you make the decision to become vegan, it's so much more about what changes in your mind and heart, and the desire to act on that new perception, on that new perspective, follows very naturally. So giving suggestions about transitioning is a very big task because there are so many components about the pragmatics of eating vegan in a meat-centered world, about the politics of food, about nutrition, about the social aspects. So I'll do my best here with the disclaimer that this is just a partial list, and I'm sure many of you have insight on this topic, and we'll probably have some more supplemental parts as we go on. So let's start with the food component. One thing I always remind people of is that vegan food is not some alien food. It's not its own food group. It's food that you're already familiar with. It's vegetables and nuts and seeds and beans and grains and fruit and mushrooms and herbs and spices. So keeping that in mind, I think, makes it less overwhelming as you venture on this new path. Having said that, you'll no doubt come across ingredients that are unfamiliar to you, that are new to you, that you've never used before. And let me just say something about that, because I have something to say about everything pretty much. One criticism or complaint that I've heard about being vegan is that you have to buy all this new stuff, that it's hard to find some things, that you have to go to more than one store to find these things. The first thing I want to say is to stop whining, okay? Because that's kind of like what you're doing. Expanding your palate and your food options may require some effort, especially in the beginning, but the fact that there's a learning curve isn't the fault of veganism. It just means you don't know everything and you need to learn some things. I mean, anytime you're learning a new cuisine or a new recipe, even, you undoubtedly come across ingredients you don't have in your cupboards. So, you know, if you're accustomed to cooking Italian food and you want to start making Indian cuisine, is it the fault of Indian cuisine that you don't have turmeric and curry paste and galangal in your cupboards? No, of course not. So don't blame veganism because it may introduce you to new foods. Just embrace it as part of the learning process. Stocking your cupboards with some basic foods that will make it easy and convenient for you to cook and eat may seem expensive at first, but a lot of the things you buy will last a long time. I created a resource sheet that I think you'll find helpful. I hand this out in all of my classes, and I put it up on the website just for you. So if you go to compassionatecooks.com and you put your mouse over resources, it's up in the top toolbar, you'll see a drop-down list. And one of the options is cooking and nutrition information, or cooking and nutrition info, I think it's called. Click on that and then choose essentials for a well-stocked pantry. Download it, print it, bring it to the store. And this is subjective, of course. These are just my suggestions, but I think it's helpful. Next, find out where your farmers markets are and frequent them. I'm lucky enough to live in the San Francisco Bay Area, where there are farmers markets almost every day of the week, year-round, literally. Virtually all of my produce comes from local growers, including my own organic and vegan garden. One day, by the way, I'll do a podcast on growing veggies without the use of animal-based fertilizers, because it is very possible to do. Talk to the growers when you go to the farmers market. Try new veggies. There's just nothing like the stuff you find at farmers markets. Look for a market near you and go with cash. When you come home from the farmers market or wherever you buy your produce, take 20 minutes to chop things up right away. I can't stress this enough. We have a very strange reaction to vegetables in their whole state. We're like really lazy, so we open the refrigerator door and we look at the heads of cauliflower and the bunches of carrots, and then we close the door mumbling something about nothing to eat in their fridge. Just, you know, if we took the time to chop up the carrots, or at least cut the tops off and mince up some garlic and clean the celery, we're so much more inclined to eat them. So just take a few minutes when you come home from the grocery store or the farmer's market and chop up these vegetables. Either chop them up so that you can snack on them, or chop them up so that you can easily throw them in a stir fry or a soup or whatever. Another tip that I think works really well is to prepare your dinner, or at least most of it, in the morning before you leave for work. It might take 15 minutes to do, and in fact, I suggest taking 15 minutes to do this, but it ensures a wonderful, healthful, quick meal when you come home from work, when you're too tired to cook. And don't think I didn't hear you out there saying that you don't have time in the morning. If we don't have 15 minutes to spend taking care of ourselves and our loved ones, then that's a problem, and that's not something I can address here on this podcast. There's probably another podcast about that. But 15 minutes each day to prepare healthful food, we owe ourselves at least that much, right? So anyway, if you want to have a stir fry, chop up the veggies and make the sauce, or marinate your vegetables or your tofu, your tempeh, and store it in the fridge. If you want a soup that night, prepare the veggies and store it in the fridge. At night, while you're watching television or reading, do people read anymore? I think people still read. So if you're reading, you could put some rice or quinoa or any kind of grain on the stove and have that cook while you're just sitting around. There are many shortcuts like this that we can take to make healthful vegan meals, because I don't want to hear that it takes too long to chop vegetables. Even if you're not vegetarian, the idea that you're not chopping vegetables is a problem. It's not like you're only supposed to chop vegetables once you become vegetarian. So hello. Okay, something else to keep in mind is that we all get stuck in ruts. Right? I mean, think about it. We all order the same dishes from the same restaurants we all go to. We all rotate the same 7 or 8 different dishes at home that we cook over and over again. I'm always struck by the fact that people say, "So you're vegan? Like, what do you eat?" And I usually say that I don't have time to tell you what I do eat, but I can tell you what I don't eat. It's pretty simple. I don't eat animals, and I don't eat their bodily secretions, period. But the stereotype is that vegans eat only sprouts or tofu. And of course, this couldn't be more untrue. We, everyone, not just vegans, of course, have a vast kingdom of plants from which to choose. And in truth, when you become vegan, an entirely new world of food opens up. Foods you never tried before, foods you never knew existed. I eat way more variety than I did before I became vegan, and way more than any non-vegetarian I know, that's for sure. And I hear this from a lot of vegans. So the best way to create a new rotation is to do a few things. You can kind of consider it a 3-step process. 1, think about what you eat that's already vegan. I'm sure there are things, like I said before, there are things you're already eating that are vegan, you just don't call it vegan. So just take a couple of those. You could probably find 2 or 3 dishes that you already know and already like that are familiar. I mean, pasta and marinara sauce, for instance. The second thing you want to do is veganize things that are familiar favorites. So for instance, leave out the meat in your favorite stir fry and put in tempeh or tofu instead. In your favorite soups, use vegetable broth instead of chicken broth. Add a variety of beans to your chili and take out the meat. Add a few drops of liquid smoke to your split pea soup instead of those ham hocks, I think they're called. I hate that. It's so offensive. Anyway, a few drops of liquid smoke into your split pea soup is much more attractive than little pieces of pig floating around. So try it. I'm telling you, it's not the flavor of the pig flesh that you're looking for when you're eating pork. It's the smoky flavor. It's what they do to the flesh of that animal to actually give you that very smoky salty flavor. That's what you're going for. So try the liquid smoke. It's a really great way to do that. And finally, learn four new recipes. There are so many vegan cookbooks out there. I have a feature on my site, again, in that cooking and nutrition info. You can go to, I think, recommended cookbooks, it's called, and you can see what my favorite cookbooks are. And obviously, we also sell recipes on the website. It enables you to build your own cookbook based on your favorite cuisine or type of food. So you can purchase these packages, which contain 5 recipes in each package. And again, you could find that at the website. So there's lots of ways to learn new recipes, obviously, just doing a search online. Another suggestion that I have related to food is support your local grocer. One complaint I hear is that, like I said before, you have to go to several stores to find what you're looking for. And because the big health food stores, including those big behemoth natural food chain stores, one of which shall remain nameless, are simply too expensive, right, to get the everyday stuff. So you wind up having to go to a few different places. And one of the problems, obviously, with these chain stores is that they're pushing out the little guy. And I know they're still around. There are still local grocers around. Find them before they're extinct and frequent them. I have 3 wonderful local groceries in my neighborhood. Again, I'm very lucky. And I have a relationship with all of them. One of them in particular, House of Produce, has been helping me with the cooking classes, and they give coupons to all of my students. And it's becoming like a little vegan natural foods grocery store because of our relationship. Now, I might have a unique situation because I teach cooking classes and I bring customers to his store. But honestly, the owners were willing to order in whatever I requested even before they knew what I did for a living. So ask for what you want. If there are items that you want that they don't carry, ask them, especially if they already carry some things that are healthier, organic, vegan. That means they have a distributor that carries those things, so that you'd be able to get other things as well. Again, just develop a relationship with them, and you know, because obviously you're dealing with the owner or the owners themselves, and you don't have to go through all the bureaucracy when you're looking to make a request at these big chain stores, and they're a lot less expensive too. My next suggestion may seem silly or obvious, but here it is. Eat. I heard from a woman once who said, yeah, you know, I was vegetarian for 7 years, and you know, I was just hungry all the time. And I gave her what I think may have been my most brilliant advice to date. I said, well, then eat. I mean, if you're hungry, eat, right? It seems obvious to me, but I do think that what people don't realize is that the reason vegans tend to have a lower body mass index than non-vegetarians is because plants are not as calorie dense. So you can eat a lot more of the food, but be taking in fewer calories. And I think this is one of the reasons people say they're hungry. So if this is a concern and you feel hungry, then just eat more food. And you can also choose the higher calorie plant foods. And which ones are the higher calorie plant foods? Well, if you remember, carbohydrates and protein have 4 calories per gram, and fat has 9 calories per gram. And incidentally, alcohol has 7 calories per gram. So the higher calorie plant foods will be those higher in fat, such as nuts, tofu, avocado, etc. But you see my point, eat if you're hungry. As for eating out, there are a number of things you can do. And actually, I highly recommend you listen to the podcast titled 10 Tips for Eating Veg in Social Situations. There are many tips there. But in short, ask for what you want. Be clear. Speak up. Also, don't be shy about asking restaurants to make something off the menu. They do it all the time, and they're happy to oblige. Let's talk a little bit about nutrition. I don't want to say too much here again, because you can find answers about specific nutrition questions in my podcast about protein, calcium, cow's milk, the one titled Skipping the Middleman, Coming to Terms with the Fact that the Nutrients We Need Are Plant-Based, or something like that. You'll find lots of information there, and more is coming. But just briefly, I do take a multivitamin every day and B12 about once a week. And I like knowing that I have that insurance. But basically, I get my nutrition from food. That's where I go to. I also take, I eat flax seeds, obviously ground flax seeds, for my omega-3 fatty acids. So, you know, I don't think you have to become a nutritionist when you become vegan, but do be prepared for everyone around you sounding like a nutritionist once they find out you're vegan. I'm always fascinated by this. Nobody says anything to anybody about the health dangers linked to eating meat, dairy, and eggs, and the nutrient deficiencies that many non-vegetarians have. But once they find out you're vegan, Everybody's an expert. Oh my gosh, you're vegan. Like, where do you get your protein? And by now, you should know the answer to that question. And if you don't, go back and listen to the episodes about protein. And I encourage people to speak the truth and express concerns for our friends and family. And like, oh my gosh, you eat meat and eggs and dairy. Don't you know that they're linked to heart disease and diabetes and stroke and some cancers? Where do you get your fiber, vitamin C, vitamin E, folate, and antioxidants? So just give that a try. And I can tell you right now that most of them won't know. But those really are the true deficiencies in people's diets. For example, fiber. You know, it's recommended that we get 40 grams of fiber a day. And, you know, most people are getting 10. That's a real problem. It's a real problem in terms of heart disease, lowering our cholesterol, and obviously making sure our whole gastrointestinal tract is working correctly. Anyway, let's talk about the social aspects, a bit about the social aspects. As positive a lifestyle as this is, there are also some unfortunate and sad components. One is the very obvious awareness that all around you, animals are being exploited or hurt in one way or another. But another is that your choice to be vegan may evoke anger in people around you. And, you know, I've seen this happen, and I think it really throws people. I don't think people expect to have encounter hostility at their own personal choice. Now, I have theories as to why this is, one of which I believe is because when we hold up our truth, we're a mirror for other people. And if it reflects back something in them that they're not comfortable with because they haven't explored or they feel like they know they should do something, but they're not, I think it's just a real threat to people. And so they become very defensive and very angry. And I just want to prepare you for that because I don't think most people really expect it. The other thing is, you may actually lose some friends. And this happened to me. This happened to a lot of different people I know. Some people, again, just really can't take it when people around them are living their truth. And I'm not trying to sound self-righteous or superior here. I'm not at all, and I hope I'm not. But I think it's really true. I think some people are intimidated and threatened by people who are living their true values. And again, if it mirrors something that that person feels they should be doing but aren't, it's gonna bring up some pretty strong emotions. So just wanna warn you about that. But you'll meet some really great friends. You'll also meet some people who really can stand your light and really can stand your truth and really want to bathe in it. So even if you may lose some, you're gonna make some new ones. Okay. One thing I was quite aware of as I was preparing this podcast was my use of the phrase becoming vegan. And it might sound funny to some of you, you know, becoming vegan, it sounds a bit like I'm referring to a metamorphosis. That's my cat. That's Schuster. He wants to say something. Anyway, but it sounds like I'm talking about a metamorphosis, like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And you know what? I think that's exactly what it is. It is a metamorphosis. I think that's why people resist it so much, like I was just saying. I think people are afraid of change. This goes back to what I said in an earlier podcast about how being vegan is about exploring and expanding and evolving, but staying stuck in patterns because we're afraid to change them. Well, I don't think that's what living is all about. And as you transition to this lifestyle, as your mind changes and your perception shifts and your heart opens with compassion for all, I encourage you to stay humble. Remember your story. Remember that most of us ate animals and their secretions at one time. We were all there once. Being vegan is not about being perfect, and it's not about being pure. It's about reducing suffering where we can and manifesting our own values of compassion. So as you transition to this lifestyle, wave your vegan banner high and know that it's not that we can make a difference. It's that we do make a difference in everything we do and every choice we make. We have the choice whether we want that difference to be negative or positive. And you'll find that notion either very empowering or very scary because it means it's up to you. Well, I think I've said enough. Thanks for whatever you can do to support these podcasts, and thank you for the difference you're making in the world. And remember, the people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. This is Colleen from Compassionate Cooks. Thanks for listening.